drought for the past 20 years, and there was hardly any grass on the ground, which, of course, to a visitor, there was something of a wasteland. And of course, we are told that we have overgrazed our reservation, which the Navajos don't know what an overgrazing is. They think that their reservation has been like that for many years. Everything the rest was rained. You read stories of the Navajos or a group of six Indians. That may be true one way or another, but I would disagree with that. I would say this. There is really nothing wrong with the Navajo people as far as educating them. We're just behind with some of these training and the knowledge that we should have gained years ago.
But the patterns are deceptive.
The roof, which is very difficult for handicapped, but the problem with it is the dirt floor and the dirt roof, and which we all understand would increase more bacteria. This old lady has tuberculosis, which we call she's positive, and needs to return back to the sanatorium for further treatment. And she is a recalcitrant patient, which I need to work with her and have her understand or plead with her to return to the sanatorium. And I've asked them if the two little girls has been taken to the hospital for x-ray, and then her answer were yes, but that does not mean that we just take her words and believe that they have been to the hospital. We have to still further check the records and see if they actually have been to the sanatorium for further x-rays.
I don't really know.
I've known this old lady for a long, long time, and she's a wonderful lady. And she has been crippled by some injury some years ago. And she's a welfare case now, and I've worked with her for many years trying to get her at least a decent living condition.
Yeah.
The Navajo tribe acquires those hearing aids wherever there is needed, so that was given to her, she said, 2 years ago, and she was having difficulties with it. And of course, it's very hard to have a person of her age and of her type, she's uneducated, to adjust herself to such a hearing aid. And I'm quite sure the battery's kind of burned out, but she doesn't realize it has happened.
Oh, yeah.
We have taken her to the hospital many times, and she stayed at the hospital at length, I believe about 2 years ago, and the doctor decided that she can no longer stay in the hospital because she has chronic illness and needs to be cared for at home, and that's the reason why she's home. But we have to visit her to see if she's using the drugs. Very important, because she gets some kind of a fit that will epilepsy sort of illness, which will make her unconscious if she doesn't use the triggers. But she needs at least a visit ever so often. This old lady says, please do not take me back to the hospital, Miss Juanita. She says, that will cure my tuberculosis. Says that herb over there. I says, okay, get it over here. Let's look at that herb.
Oh, dear. This is the medicine she's using for tuberculosis at the moment.
Hey, you are just
the sage from this. We saw out on the ground here, this great plant that we have. This is very, very bitter. I know how it tastes. If you take quite a bit, it'll kind of make you miserable. She says, this is for TB, so we have a new discovery here. We still have to see whether this is really the medicine for tuberculosis.
She says, this will cure my tuberculosis. I said, good old grandma, that shade will. But on top of it, drink that stuff first and then have your pills. She felt happy. Well, she says, I'll eat my pills along with the beer liquid to cure the tuberculosis. So you can have the kind of work. The young gentleman that's sitting there, he's learning to be a medicine man. I think she depends on him for a cure. But he's very young and he's just learning, and he can perform at least one ceremony, as I understand that he could do beautifully. The old lady, I'm quite sure, depending on him for a cure, not realizing that the world really cannot be cured by medicine man. We all know that it cannot be.
These men, using more surplus 30-gallon gunpowder drums,
directed to the Navajo Tribal Council in 1951. Didn't know what council work was. Didn't realize that it was a tremendous job. Didn't realize that I had to train myself. There was a disease called hepatitis that struck Tuba City in that year. None of us knew about what it was. So the doctors reported it. There was more tuberculosis that were killing Navajos like flies. And I said, they knew nothing about it. And this man, he got up and he looked around and he, where's that lady? It's women that usually can take care of the sick far better than we men can. So let's appoint her and get her to work. I heard about tuberculosis, but there's nothing I knew about tuberculosis. Didn't even give me a chance to say yes or no. Made a motion, second, they all voted their accept. And that's all my work, because the worst mistake that was made there, to my way of thinking, was they never told the Navajo people that this was a disease that covered the whole world. It was a disease of the whole world. So the Navajos thought that the Navajos were the only ones that were discovered to have tuberculosis before any white man catches it, so they were shut up. This was a sad story. So when I told them that this was a white man's disease, a colored man's disease, this disease is everywhere, they were relieved. They were relieved. And of course, the medicine man cannot cure this particular disease. That was my answer. They cannot cure it. Still, they didn't believe me. Some of them say they were cured. So there was a medicine man here with us all day today and appreciated what has been done for this particular old lady. Remember the man with the dark glasses? He's a medicine man. A wonderful medicine man. Yet he appreciated it, everything that was done for the poor grandmother. I asked him when I saw him alone, I said, what do you think about the treatment? Do you think your grandmother was cared for very well? He said, yes. They did a wonderful job, which I can't do back then. So you would see that there is appreciation. I don't think we should put them aside saying, oh, you're just a sort of a group that are misleading Navajo. No, we should never, never feel that way about them. We must work with them. I don't like to get into our own beliefs, religions, but it's very essential to our way of life as a Navajo. The beliefs, the stories about these ceremonies, they're beautiful. It's all about nature. The Navajos appreciate more about nature than the non-Indians, I think. Because they pray to the stars, the moon, the sun, the earth. They're very pretty. And you want to listen to them when you ask them.
Wanika joined in this dance from the deep past. The evils which beset the Navajo today will not be easily vanquished. But Annie Wanika, the middle person, the interpreter between two worlds, is helping to ease the agonizing transition of her people into the 20th century.
Nanny goats sucking mintos, 40 winking, hallelujah. Night in the four-rail bar, quiet as a domino. Knocky milkman's lost like a mouse with gloves. In Diver's bakery, flying like black flour. It is tonight in Donkey Street, trotting silent with seaweed on its hooves along cottle cobbles, past curtain fern pot, text and trinket, harmonium, holy dresser, watercolors done by hand, China dog and rosy tin tea caddy. It is tonight, netting among the snuggeries of babies. Look, it is night, dumbly, royally winding through the coronation cherry trees, going through the graveyard of Bethesda with wings gloved and folded and dewed off, tumbling by the sailor's arms. Time passes. Listen.
Time passes. Come closer now. Only you can hear the houses sleeping in the streets in slow, deep, salt and silent black bandage night. Only you can see in the blinded bedrooms the combs, petticoats over the chairs, jugs and basins, glasses of teeth, thou shalt not on the walls, and the yellowing Dickie Bird watching pictures of the dead. Only you can see and hear behind the eyes of the sleepers the movements and countries and mazes and colors and dismays and rainbows and tunes and wishes and flight and fall and despairs and big seas of their dreams. From where you are, you can hear their dreams.
Captain Cass, retired, blinded sea captain, asleep in his bunk, in a seashell shipping bottle, ship-shaped best cabin of schooner house, dreams of
never such seas as any that swamp the decks of his SS Kidwelly, bellying over the bedclothes and jellyfish slippery, sucking him down salt deep into the davy dark, where the fish come biting out and nibble him down to his wishbone, and the long drow nuzzle up to him.
Remember me, Captain.
You're dancing, William.
You see me, Captain? The white bone, talking. I'm Tom Fred the Donkeyman. We share the same girl once. Her name was Mrs. Probert.
Rosie Probert, 33 Duff Lane. Come on up, boys. I'm dead.
Oh, me, Captain. I'm Jonah Jarvis, come to a bad end. Very enjoyable. Alfred Pomeroy Jones, sea lawyer, born in Mumbles,
sung like a linnet, crowned you with a flagon, tattooed with mermaid, thirst like a treasure, died of blister.
Scallop your ear hole of curly bevel. Tell my aunt it was me that pawned the ominous cross.
Aye, correct.
My missus, no, I never.
I never done what she said, I never.
Yes, they did. And who brings coconuts and shawls and parrots to my Gwyn now?
How is it? A bomb,
long red bosoms and robin,
concertina, Ebenezer's bell,
anemone,
and sparrows and daisies,
tillers and a janja,
what are they with it? Rock-a-bye, baby,
washing on the line,
no girls in a snug, how's the tenors in dow life,
who milks the cows, my going,
when she smiles, is there a dimple, what the smell of parsley,
oh my dead dears.
Come now, drift up the dark, come up the drifting sea dark street. You can hear in the spring moonless night Miss Price, dressmaker and sweet shopkeeper, dream of
her lover, tall as a town clock tower, Samson syrup gold mane, whacking side and piping hot, flailing up the cockles with his eyes like blow lamps, and scooping low over her lonely, loving, hot water bottled body.
Move on, we Price.
Mr. Mark, Edward.
I am a draper mad with love. I love you more than all the flannelette and calico, Candlewick, Dimity, Crash, and Reno, Tussore, Cretonne, Crepon, Muslin, Poplin, Ticking and Twill, and the whole cloth hall of the world. Come away to my emporium on the hill, where the change hums on wires. Throw away your bed socks, your Welsh wool knitted jacket. I will warm the sheets like an electric toaster. I will lie by your side like the Sunday roast.
I will make you a wallet. A forget-me-not blue for the mermaid of the country. I will warm your heart by the fire so that you can slip it in under your vest when the shop is closed.
Move on way, before the mice gnaw at your bottom drawer, will you say?
Yes, Mark. Yes, Mark. Yes.
And all the bells of the tills of the town shall ring for our wedding.
Now in her iceberg white, holily laundered crinoline nightgown, under virtuous polar sheets, in her spruced and scoured dustifying bedroom in Trig and Trim Bay View, a house for paying guests at the top of the town, Mrs. Ogmore Pritchard, widow twice, of Mr. Ogmore, linoleum retired, and Mr. Pritchard, failed bookmaker, who, maddened by bezooming, swabbing and scrubbing, the voice of the vacuum cleaner and the fume of polish, ironically swallowed disinfectant, fidgets in her rimmed sleep, wakes in a dream, and nudges in the ribs. Dead Mr. Ogmore, dead Mr. Pritchard, ghostly on either side.
Mr. Ogmore? Mr. Pritchard? It is time to inhale your balsam.
Oh, Mrs. Ogmore.
Oh, Mrs. Pritchard.
Soon it will be time to get up. Tell me your task. In order.
I must put my pajamas in the drawer marked pajamas.
I must take my cold bath, which is good for me.
I must wear my flannel band to ward off sciatica.
I must dress behind the curtain and put on my apron.
I must blow my nose.
In the garden, if you please.
In a piece of tissue paper, which I afterwards burn.
I must take my salts, which are nature's friends.
I must boil the drinking water because of germs.
I must take my herb tea, which is free from tannin.
And have a charcoal biscuit, which is good for me.
I may smoke one pipe of asthma mixture.
In the woodshed, if you please.
And dust the parlor and spray the canary.
I must put on rubber gloves and search the peep.
I must dust the blinds and then I must raise them.
And before you let the sun in, mind it, what's its shoes.
And in the little pink-eyed cottage next to the undertaker lie alone the 17 snoring gentle stone of Mr. Waldo. Rabbit catcher, barber, herbalist, cat doctor, quack, his fat pink hands palms up over the edge of the patchwork quilt, his black boots neat and tidy in the washing basin, his bowler on a nail above the bed, a milk stout and a slice of cold bread pudding under his pillow,
and dripping in the dark, he dreams of...
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed at home. This little piggy had wolf's feet. This little piggy had none. And this little piggy went...
Wee, 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 wee.
All the way home to...
Waldo! Waldo!
Yes, blood and love.
Oh, what'll the neighbors say? What'll the neighbors?
Mrs. Waldo.
What she puts up with.
Never should have married.
If she didn't have to.
Same as her mother.
There's a husband for you.
Bad as his father.
And you know where he ended?
Off to the asylum.
Crying for his ma.
Every Saturday.
He hasn't got a leg.
And carrying on.
You got Mrs. Beatty Morris.
Off in the quarry.
And see her baby?
It's got his nose.
Oh, it makes my heart bleed.
What can he do for drink?
He sold the pianola.
And her sewing machine.
Falling in the gutter.
Talking to the lamppost.
Using language.
Singing in the W. Poor Mrs. Waldo.
Oh, Waldo. Waldo.
Hush, Laura, hush. I'm widower, Waldo, now.
Waldo, Waldo.
Yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am.
Oh, what'll the neighbors say? What'll the neighbors?
Black as a chimney.
Ringing doorbells.
Breaking windows.
Making mud pies.
Eating currants.
Chopping worms.
Saw him in the bush and
laying muffins.
Send him to bed without any supper.
Get in, stand upon, and lock him in the dark.
Off to the reformatory.
Off to the reformatory.
Then in with a slipper on it.
BPM. Waldo, Waldo, what are you doing with our Matty?
Give us a kiss, Matty, let you.
Give us a penny, then.
Only got a halfpenny.
Lift is a penny.
Will you take this woman, Matty Richards?
Don't see, brother.
Oh, there's the blue pack.
Mrs. Fletcher.
Logman boys.
To be your awful wedded wife?
No, no, no.
And at the sea end of town, Mr. and Mrs. Floyd, the Cocklers, are sleeping quiet as death, side by wrinkled side, toothless, salt and brown, like two old kippers in a box.
Ucky Milkman, drowned asleep in Cuckoo Street, is emptying his churn into the Dewey River, regardless of expense.
Cherry Owen lifts his tankard to his lips, but nothing flows out of it. He shakes the tankard, it turns into a fish. He drinks the fish.
Alone until she dies, Bessie Bighead, hired help, born in the poorhouse, smelling of the cowshed, snores bass and gruff on a couch of straw in a loft in Salt Lake Farm, and picks a posy of daisies in Sunday Meadow to put on the grave of Gomer Owen, who kissed her once by the pigsty when she wasn't looking, and never kissed her again, although she was looking all the time.
Now... In the Bible-black airless attic over Jack Black, the cobbler's, where alone and savagely Jack Black sleeps in a nightshirt tied to his ankles with elastic and dreams of...
Chasing the naughty couples down the grass-green, gooseberry double bed of the wood, flogging the toss pots in the spit and sawdust, driving out the bare bold girls from the sixpenny hops of his nightmares. Huckabee! Huckabee!
Heaven is the death, the undertaker laughs high and aloud in his sleep and curls up his toes as he sees upon waking 50 years ago.
Snow lying deep on the green goose field behind the sleeping house. And he runs out into the field where his mother is making Welsh cakes in the snow and steals a fish full of snowflakes and currants and climbs back to bed to eat them cold and sweet under the warm white sheets while his mother dances in the snow kitchen crying out for her lost currants.
Butcher Bynum, Gossamer Bynum, daughter, school teacher, dreaming deep. Daisy
lay stirring under a fluttering hammock of chicken feathers in a slaughterhouse that has chintz curtains and a three-piece suite, and finds with no surprise a small, rough, ready man with a bushy tail winking in a paper carrier. At last, my love.
And the bushy tail wags rude and ginger.
And the inspectors of cruelty fly down into Mrs. Butcher Bynum's dream to persecute Mr. Bynum for selling...
Owl meat. Dog dies. Man
Mr. Bynum, in butcher's blooded apron, spring heels down Coronation Street, a finger, not his own, in his mouth. Straight-faced in his cunning sleep, he pulls the legs of his dreams and...
Hunting on pigback, shoots down the wild giblets. Bang! Bang!
Willy-nilly postman walks 14 miles in his dream to deliver the post as he does every day of the night, and rat-a-tat's hard and sharp on Mrs. Willy-nilly.
Don't spite me, please, Richard.
Whimpers his wife at his side, but every night of their married life she has been late for school. And high above in Salt Lake Farm, Mr. Utah Watkins counts all night the white-faced sheep as they leap the fences on the hills, smiling and knitting and bleating, just like Mrs. Utah Watkins.
34, 35, 36, 48, 89.
Knit one, sleep one, knit two together, pass the slip stitch over.
Cried Organ Morgan, the organist in his dream. There is a perturbation and music in Coronation Street. All the spouses are honking like geese, and the babies singing opera. Police Constable Artillerese has got his truncheon out and is playing cadenzas by the pump. The cows from Sunday Meadow ring like reindeer, and on the roof of Handel Villa, see the women's welfare, hoofing, broomered, in the moon.
Ooh. Mrs. Organ Morgan, grocer's coil gray like a dormouse, her paws to her ears, conjured.
Silence!
Sinbad sailors over the taproom of the Sailor's Arms.
Hugs his damp pillow, whose secret name is
Gossamer
Bynum.
Mrs. Rose Cottage's eldest, May, peels off her pink and white skin in a furnace, in a tower, in a cave, in a waterfall, in a wood, and waits there raw as an onion for Mr. Wright to leap up the burning, tall, hollow splashes of leaves like a brigantine trout.
Call me tonight.
Like you do in the story.
A mogul catches Lily Small in the washhouse. Now behind the eyes and secrets of the dreamers in the streets, rocked to sleep by the sea, see
the tidbits and topsy-turvy,
barbs and button-tops,
bags and bones,
ash and rind and dandruff and nail paring,
saliva and snowflakes and molted feathers of dreams,
the wrecks and sprats and shells and fish bones,
whale juice and moonshine
and small salt fry dished up by the hidden sea. The owls are hunting. Look! Over Bethesda gravestones, one hoots and swoops and catches a mouse by the grave of Hannah Reese, beloved wife.
And Coronation Street, which you alone can see, it is so dark under the chapel of the skies, Marianne Sailors dreams of
the Garden of Eden.
She comes in her smock frock and clogs
away from the cool, scrubbed, cobbled kitchen with the Sunday school pictures on the whitewashed walls. And the farmer's almanac hung above the settle, and the sides of bacon on the ceiling hooks, and goes down the cockle-shelled paths of that apple pie kitchen garden, ducking under the gypsy's clothespins, catching her apron on the blackcurrant bushes, past bean rows and onion beds and tomatoes ripening on the wall, towards the old man playing the harmonium in the orchard, and sits down on the grass at his side and shells the green peas that grow up through the lap of her frock that brushes the dew.
In Donkey Street, so furred with sleep, Polly Garter, Mr. Pugh, No Good Boyle and Lord Cutglass sigh before the dawn that is about to be and dream of
baby.
Murder. Turkish girl. Horizontal.
Time passes. Listen. Time passes. An owl flies home past Bethesda to a chapel in an oak,
and a dawn inches up. Stand on this hill. This is Laegob Hill.
Old as the hills, high, cool, and green. And from this small circle of stones, you can see all the town below you sleeping in the first of the dawn. You can hear the lovesick wood pigeons mooning in bed. A dog barks in his sleep, farm yards away. The town ripples like a lake in the waking hay. The principality of the sky lightens into spring morning, laughs and crowed and billing. Boofles the town hall bell rope, but blind Captain Cat. One by one the sleepers are rung out of sleep, this one morning as every morning, and soon you will see the chimneys slow up-flying snow as Captain Cat in sailor's cap and sea boots announces today with his loud, "Get out of bed, bell!"
The Reverend Eli Jenkins in Bethesda House gropes out of bed into his preacher's black, combs back his barred white hair, forgets to wash, pads barefoot downstairs, opens the front door, stands in the doorway, and looking out at the day and up at the spring sky, and hearing the gab of birds and the sea break, recalls his own verses and tells them very softly to himself. As he looks down empty Coronation Street that is rising and raising its blinds.
Dear Gwalia, I know there are towns lovelier than ours, and fairer hills, and loftier far, and groves more full of flowers, and boskier woods more blithe with spring, and bright with birds adorning, and sweeter bards than I to sing their praise this beauteous morning. By Cader Idris tempest torn, or Moyler Budfa's glory, Carnev's dwelling, beauty born, Plinlimmon, bold in story, by mountains where King Arthur dreams, by Pennine Mawr defiant, Laegob Hill, a mole hill seems, a pygmy to a giant, by Sarve, Semi, Dovi, Dee, Edu, Eden, Alid, all, Tulf and Tony, broad and free, Linfont with its waterfall, Clairwen, Cleda, Donace, Daw, Ellie, Gwilly, Ogre, Ned. Small is our river Dewey, Lord, a baby on a rushy bed. By Carrig Kennan, King of Kine, our heron head is only a bit of stone with seaweed spread, where gulls come to be lonely. A tiny dingle is milkwood by Golden Grove, Nis Gronga. But let me choose. And oh, I should love all my life and longer to stroll among our trees and stray in Guscog Lane on Donkey Down and hear the Dewey sing all day and never, never leave the town.
The Reverend Jenkins returns to Bethesda House and closes the front door. His morning service is over.
Now, woken at last by the out of bed, sleepyhead Polly, put the kettle on, town hall bell, Lily Small, Mrs. Bynes' treasure, comes downstairs from a dream of royalty that all night long went larking with a full of thoughts in the milkwood dark, and puts the kettle on the primus ring in Mrs. Bynes' kitchen, and looks at herself in Mr. Bynum's shaving glass over the sink and sees...
Ah! There's a face. Now, where do you get that hair from? Got it from old Tom Cat. Well, give it back then, love. Oh, there's a perm. Where do you get that nose from, Lily? I got it from his father, silly.
And you put it on upside down.
There's a skunk.
Hey, oh, look at your complexion. Oh, no, you look. Maybe it's a bit of makeup.
He's a veil. Oh, that's glamour. Where did you get that smiley lace?
Never you mind, girl. Nobody loves you.
That's what you think.
Who loves you then?
Don't tell.
Come on, Lily.
Close your eyes, then.
Close my eyes.
Touching the reflection, she breathes the name and clouds the shaving glass.
Lily?
Yes, Mum? Where's my dear girl?
Oh, we're just thinking that cat box. Come in up, Mum!
Mr. Pugh takes up the morning tea to Mrs. Pugh and whispers on the stairs.
Here's your arsenic, dear. And your weed killer biscuit. I've throttled the parakeet. I've spat in the vase. I put cheese in the mouth holes. Here's your nice interior.
Too much sugar.
You haven't tasted it yet, dear.
Too much milk, then. Has Mr. Jenkins said his poetry?
Yes, dear.
Then it's time to get up. Give me my glasses.
No, not my reading glasses. I want to look out. I want to see.
Lily Smalls, the treasure, down on her red knees, washing the front step.
She's tucked her dress and her bloomers on the baggage.
Police Constable Angela Reese, oxbroad, barge-booted, stamping out of handcuff house in a heavy beef-red hub, black browed under his desert helmet.
He's going to arrest Polly Garta. Mark my words.
What for, dear?
For having babies.
And he lumbers down towards the Strand to see that the sea is still there.
Marianne Sailors opening her bedroom window above the tap room and calling out to the heavens.
I'm 85 years, 3 months, and a day.
Well, I will say this for her. She never makes a mistake.
The morning fishwife gulls heckling over Donkey Street observe.
Me, Lord Cutglass, and an old frock coat belonging to Eli Jenkins, and a pair of postman's trousers from Bethesda Jumble, running out of doors to empty slots. Mind there, Rover, then running in again, tick-tock, tick-tock. Me, Guy Bread, shoving my shirt tail, buttoning up my whiskers, fingers a button, oh, why can't they sell them? Nothing for breakfast, no time for breakfast, there's wine for you.
Me, Mrs. Guy Bread, one. Captain Shoulder, no old corset. Oh, nice to be comfy.
Nice to be nice.
Clogging on the cobbles to stir up a neighbor. Oh, Mrs. Sarah, can you spell off now? I forgot the bread. There's a lovely morning. Oh, and the boils this morning. Isn't that good news now? It's a chance to sit down.
So, oh, Mrs. Sarah?
Me, Mrs. Diabred, four. Gypsy to kill, a silky scarlet petticoat above my knees, dirty, pretty knees. See my body through my petticoat, brown as a berry. High-heeled shoes with one heel knitting, tortoiseshell comb in my bright black, freaky hair. Nothing else at all on but a dab of scent, lolling gaudy at the doorway. Tell your fortune in the tea leaves. Scowling at the sunshine, lighting up my pipe.
Me, no good boy, oh. Up to no good in the wash house.
Me, me found me twice in my pretty clean housecoat, dressed at the clothesline, nasty as a city rim. Then picked it up to my agent's cozy, my crisp, just finger. My homemade plum and butter pets.
Me, Polly Garden, under the washing line, giving the breast in the garden to my bunny new baby. Nothing grows in our garden. Only washing. And babies.
And where their fathers live, my love? Over the hills and far away. You're looking up at me now. I know what you're thinking, you poor little milky creature. You're thinking you're no better than you should be, Polly. And that's good enough for me. Oh, isn't life a terrible thing? Thank God.
Now, frying pan, spit, kettles, and cat purr, the town smells of seaweed and breakfast all the way down from Bayview to Bottom Cottage and Mr. Wardo. Mr. Pugh
remembers ground glass as he juggles his omelette.
Willy-nilly postman
downs his last bucket of black brackish tea and rumbles out bandy to the clucking back where the hens twitch and weave for their tea silk socks.
Mrs. Willy-nilly.
Full of tea to her double chin brim, brews and bubbles over the coven of kettles on the hissing hot range, always ready to steam open the mail.
The Reverend Eli Jenkins
finds a rhyme and dips his pen in his cocoa.
Mary Ann Sailor.
Praises the Lord who made Polly.
Captain Cat in his galley.
Blind and fine-fingered, sacred his sea fry.
Mr. and Mrs. Cherry Owen in their Donkey Street room, that is bedroom, parlor, kitchen, and scullery, sit down to last night's supper of onions boiled in their overcoats and broth of spuds and bacon rind and leeks and both.
See that smudge on the wall with the picture of Auntie Blossom? That's where you threw the gravy. You only missed me by an inch.
I always miss Auntie Blossom, too.
Remember last night? In you reeled my boy as drunk as a deacon with a big wet bucket and a fish frail full of stout, and you looked at me and you said, God has come home, you said. And then over the bucket you went, sprawling and bawling, and the pool was all heels and flatfish and blood.
Was I wounded?
And then you took off your trousers and you said, does anybody want to fight? Ooh, you're bamboo.
Give me a kiss.
And then you sang Bread of Heaven, tenor and bass.
Oh, we sing Bread of Heaven.
And then you did a little dance from a table. Drop dead!
Then what did I do?
Then you cried like a baby and said you were a poor, drunk orphan with nowhere to go but the grave.
And what did I do next, my dear?
Then you danced on the table all over again and said you were King Solomon Owen and I was your Mrs. Sheba.
And then?
And then I got you into bed and you snored all night like a brewery.
From Bunyan Butchers in Coronation Street, the smell of fried liver sidles out with onions on its breath. And listen, in the dark breakfast room behind the shop, Mr. and Mrs. Bynum, waited upon by their treasure, enjoy between bites their every morning hullabaloo, and Mrs. Bynum slips the grisly bits under the tattle tablecloth to her fat cat.
Ah, put that
knife
to the liver
then. She ought to do, Bess. It's her brother's.
Oh, do you hear that, Lily?
Oh, yes, Mum.
Oh, where is it, Butcher?
Yes, Mum.
Oh, you can't, Butcher.
It was Newt's,
Mum. Well, what's that got to do with it?
Yesterday we had mole.
Oh, Lily, Lily.
Monday, otter.
Oh.
Tuesday, shrew.
Oh.
Oh, go on, Mrs. Bynum. He's the biggest liar in town.
Don't you dare say that about Mr. Bynum.
Well, everybody knows it, Mum.
Mr. Bynum never tells a lie. Do you, Ben?
No, Bess. And now I'm going out after the spaniels with my little paper.
Oh, Lily, Lily.
And down the street at the Sailor's Arms, Sinbad Sailor, grandson of Mary Ann Sailor, draws a pint in the sunlit bar. The ship's clock in the bar says 11:30. 11:30 is opening time. The hands of the clock have stayed at 11:30 for 50 years.
It's always opening time in the Sailor's Arms. Here's to me, Sinbad.
All over town, babies and old men are cleaned and put into their broken prams and wheeled out onto the sunlit cuckold cobbles or out into the backyards under the dancing underclothes and left. Fishermen grumble to their nets. No good boyo goes out in the dinghy Zanzibar, ships the oars, drifts slowly in the dab-filled bay, and lying on his back in the unveiled water amidst crab's legs and tangled lines, looks up at the spring sky.
I don't know who's up there. And I don't care.
He turns his head
and looks up at Llareggett Hill and sees among green lather trees the white houses of the strewn away farms where farm boys whistle, dogs shout, cows low, but all too far away for him or you to hear.
And in the town, the shops squeak open. Mr. Mog Edwards, in butterfly collar and straw hat at the door of Manchester House, measures with his eye the dawdlers by for striped flannel shirts and shrouds and flowery blouses, and bellows to himself in the darkness behind his eye,
I love this price.
Syrup is sold in the post office. A car drives to market full of fowls and a farmer. Milk churns stand at Coronation Corner like short silver policemen. And sitting at the open window of Schooner House, blind Captain Cat hears all the mourning of the town.
Noses are white, head picked, hair combed, paws scrubbed, ears boxed, and the children shrilled off to school.
He hears the noise of the children's feet on the cobbles.
Maggie Richards. Our Sal. Little Gerwayne. Billy Swansea with the dog's voice. There's one of Mr. Waldo's nasty Humphrey.
Jackie with a sniff. Where's Dickie Zombie? And the boys from T-Pack?
Perhaps they get the rash again.
Oh, somebody's hit Maggie Richards. 2-1, it's Billy Swansea.
Right again, it's Billy. Never trust a boy who barks.
And the children's voices cry away.
Well, that's willy-nilly knocking at Babe, you rat-a-tat, very soft. The knocker's got a kid glove on. Who sent a letter to Mrs. Hogmore Pritchett?
Well, careful now. She swabs the front glassy. Every step's like a bar of soap. Mine's a size 12.
That old Bessie with beeswax the lawn to make the birds slip.
Morning, Mrs. Hogmore-Pritchett.
Good morning, Sergeant.
Here's a letter for you with stamped and addressed envelope enclosed all the way from Beltwell. The gentleman wants to study birds and can he have accommodation for 2 weeks in the bath? Vegetarian.
Lil!
Yeah, well, honest, you wouldn't know he was in the house, Mrs. Hogmore-Pritchett. He'd be out in the mornings at the bag of dawn with his bag of bread crumbs and his little pedal soap.
And come home at all hours covered with feathers. I don't want curtains in my nice clean room breathing all over the chairs.
Across my heart, he won't breathe.
And putting their feet on my carpets and sneezing on my china and sleeping in my sheets.
He only wants a single bed, Miss Osmore-Pritchard.
Slam!
And back she goes to the kitchen to polish the potatoes. Mrs. Rose Cottage, what's today?
But today she gets a letter from her sister in Gore's Glass. How's the twins' tea?
Morning, Mrs. Pugh. And Miss Osmore-Pritchett won't have a man in from Bill Wells because they'll sleep in her sheets. And Miss Rose Cottage's sister in Gore's Glass twins have got to have them out.
Give me the pot, folks.
It's for Mr. Pugh, Mrs. Pugh.
Never you mind. What's inside it?
A book called Lives of the Great Poisoners. Morning, Mr. Edwards. Very small news. Miss Osmore-Pritchett won't have birds in the house, and Mr. Pugh's bought a book on how to do in Mrs. Pugh.
And you got a letter from her.
Yeah, Miss Price loves you with all her heart. It's smelling lavender today. Mm. And she's out the last of the elderflower wine with the quince jams bare enough. She's knitting roses on the doily. Oh. Well, last week she sold 3 jars of boiled sweets, pound of humbugs, half box jelly babies, and 6 colored photos of Lorraine. Yours forever, then 21X's.
Oh, willy-nilly, she's a ruby. There's my letter now. Put it into her hand.
People are moving now up and down the cobbled street.
All the women are out this morning in the sun. You can tell it's spring.
There goes Mrs. Cherry.
You can tell her by her trotters. Off she trots, new as a daisy. Ooh, high heels now. In the morning, too. Mrs. Rose Cottage's eldest, May. 17 and never been kissed. Oh, going young and milking under my window to the field with the nanny goats. She reminds me all the way.
Who's that?
Mrs. Butcher Bynum and her pet black cat. It follows her everywhere, meow and all. Mrs. 23, important. The sun gets up and goes down in her dew lap. When she shuts her eyes, it's night. Mrs. Divebred One, waltzing down the street like a jelly. Every time she shakes, it's flap, flap, flap. Can't hear what the women are gabbing around the pump. The same as ever. Who's having a baby? Who blacks whose eye? Seen Polly Garter giving her belly an airing. Oh, there should be a law. Seen Mrs. Bynum's new mauve jumper. It's her old gray jumper died.
Who's dead? Who's dying? There's a lovely day. Oh, the cost of soap flakes.
Here's the noise of the milk can.
Hark him, milkman on his round. I will say this. His milk's as fresh as the dew.
Half dew it is. Now, the voices round the pump can see somebody coming. Hush. There's a hush.
You can tell by the noise of the hush it's Polly Garter.
Hello, Polly! Who's there?
Me, love.
That's Polly Garter. Hello, Polly, my love.
Do you hear the dumb goose hiss of the wives as they huddle and peck or flout? At a waddle away? Who cuddled you when? Which of their gandering hubbies moaned in milk wood for your naughty mothering arms and body like a wardrobe, love? Scrub the floors of the welfare hall for the Mother's Union social dance. Your one mother won't wriggle her roly-poly bum or pat her fat little buttery feet in that wedding ring holy tonight. Although the waltzing husbands, snatched from the cozy smoke of the sailor's arms, will grizzle and mope. Too late, Cot, too late.
Well, the town's half over with its morning. The morning's as busy as bees.
There's the clip-clop of horses on the sun-honey cobbles of the humming streets. Hammering of horseshoes, gabble, quack, and cackle. Tom's his twitter from the bird-on's boughs. Braying on Donkey Down, and the ragged gabble from the Bear Garden School as the women scratch and babble in Mrs. Organ Morgan's general shop where everything is sold.
Custard, bucket, henna,
butter,
sugar,
sap,
confetti,
paraffin,
hatchet,
whistle.
Mrs. Ogmore puts a
lot. He's up.
Got a man and built well.
And he got a little telescope to look at birds. Willy-nilly there.
Remember her first husband? He didn't need a telescope.
He looked at them undressing through the keyhole.
And he used to shout, tally-ho!
But Mr. Ogmore was a proper gentleman.
Even though he hanged his collie.
See Mrs. Butcher Bynum? She said Butcher Bynum put dogs in the mincer.
Go on, he's pulling her leg.
Oh, now don't you dare tell her that. There's a dear.
Oh, you think he's trying to pull it off and eat it?
There's a nasty lot live here, when you come to think.
Look at that no good boyo now. And lazy to wipe his snow.
And going out fishing every day, and all he ever brought back was a Mrs. Samuel.
Been in the water a week.
And look at Aki Milkman's wife that nobody's ever seen.
He keeps her in the cupboard.
With the empties.
And think of Dye Bread with two wives. One for the daytime, and one for the night.
Men are brutes on the quiet.
And how's Morgan? Mrs. Morgan?
Oh. You're not dead, beast. It's all game.
organ all the time with him.
Up every night until midnight playing the organ.
Oh, I'm a martyr to music.
Outside, the sun springs down on the rough and tumbling town. It runs through the hedges of Guldgog Lane, cuffing the birds to sing. Spring whips green down Cockle Row, and the shells ring out. Larega, this snip of a morning, is wild fruit and warm. The streets, fields, sands, and water springing in the young sun.
Evans the Death presses hard with black gloves on the coffin of his breast in case his heart jumps out.
Where's your dignity? Lie down.
Spring stirs Gossamer Bynum's schoolmistress like a spoon.
Oh, what can I do? I'll never be refined if I twitch.
Spring, this strong morning, foams in a flame in Jack Black as he cobbles a high-heeled shoe for Mrs. Dyebred to the gypsy, but he hammers it sternly out.
There is no leg belonging to the foot that belongs to this shoe.
The sun in the green breeze shifts Captain Cat's sea memory again.
Oh, I'll take them a lot of my guns, Captain, here.
Polly Boob Jig Jig, madam?
Marianne Sailors says very softly to herself as she looks out at Larega's Hill from the bedroom where she was born.
It is spring in Larega in the sun, my old age, and this is the chosen land.
Oh! And in willy-nilly the postman's dark and sizzling damp tea-coated misty pygmy kitchen where the spitting cat kettles throb and hop on the range, Mrs. Willy-Nilly steams open Mr. Marg Edwards' letter to Miss Mavolwe Price and reads it aloud to Willy-Nilly by the squint of the spring sun through the one sealed window running with tears.
From Manchester House, Birmingham, Coles Park, Mr. Marg Edwards. Later, too. Linen draper, haberdasher, marker tailor, costumier for West End. Negligee, lingerie.
Lingerie.
Evening gowns, trousseaux.
Trousseaux.
Lace. Also ready to wear for all occasions. Economical outfitting
for agricultural employment, our specialty. Wardrobes bought. Among our satisfied customers, ministers of religion and J.K.'s. Fitting by appointment. Advertising weekly in the Two Bugles.
My bride in heaven. I love you until death do us part. And then we shall be together forever and ever. A new packet of ribbons has come from Carmarthen's Bay. All the colors of the rainbow. I wish I could tie a ribbon in your hair. A white one, but it cannot be. I dreamed last night. You were all dripping wet as you sat on my lap as the Reverend Jenkins went down the street. I see you've got a mermaid in your lap, he said, and he lifted his hat. He is a proper Christian. Not like Cherry Owen, who said you should have thrown her back, he said. Business is very poor, they... Polly Garter bought two garters with roses, but she never got stockings. So what is the use, I say? Mr. Waldo tried to sell me a woman of 90, outsized. He says he found it. We know where. I sold a packet of pins to Tom the Sailors to pick his teeth. If this goes on, I shall be in the poorhouse. My heart is in your bosom. And yours is in mine. God be with you always, Mavonway Price, and keep you lovely for me in his heavenly mansion. I must stop now and remain your eternal Mark Edwards.
And then a little message with a rubber stamp. Shop at Mark.
And willy-nilly rumbling, jockeys out again to the three-seated shack called the House of Commons in the back where the hens weep, and sees in sudden springshine
herring gulls heckling down to the harbor where the fishermen spit and cross the morning up, and I the fishy sea smooth to the sea's end as it lulls in blue. Green and gold money, tobacco, tinned salmon, hats with feathers, pots of fish paste, warmth for the winter to be, weave and leap in it, rich and slippery in the flash and shapes of fishes through the cold sea streets. But with blue, lazy eyes, the fishermen gaze at that milkmaid whispering water with no ruck or ripple, as though it blew great guns and serpents and typhooned the town.
Too rough for fishing today.
And I thank God and garb at a gull for luck. And moths slow make their way uphill from the still, still sea. Pigs are grunting. Up goes the butcher. Milk churns bell. Hills ring. Sheep cough. Dogs shout. Thaws sing.
Oh, the spring whinny and morning moon from the cloud dancing far.
The gulls gab and rabble on the boat bobbing sea.
And the cockles bubbling in the sand.
Scamper of sandaling.
Curlew cry.
Crow call.
Pigeon coo. Clock strike. Bull bellow. And the town is as full as a love bird's egg.
The music of the spheres is heard distinctly over Milkwood. It is the rustle of spring.
Was a lover and his first with an egg.
The glee party sings in Bethesda graveyard, gay but muffled. Dybread 1 and Mrs. Dybread 2 are sitting, one darkly, one plumply blooming in the dewy sun. Mrs. Dybread 2 is looking into a crystal ball which she holds in the lap of her dirty yellow petticoat, hard against her hard, dark thighs.
Cross my palm with silver. Out of our housekeeping money.
What do you see, Larry?
I see a feather bed with three pillows on it and a text above the bed. Read what it says. It's great.